The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
What is it like dealing with politicians? Because I'm sure to some degree you have to build relationships and, to your point, get people on your side, you know, majority, all those things. What has that been like?
It's been pretty good. I mean, it's tough. They're human beings just like anybody else, and they got strong personalities.
Yeah.
You know, they have a vision of what they want. And sometimes they think their way is the right way and whatnot and stuff. So I just got a project approved with some politicians that, you know, were kind of giving me a hard time on one of my projects not closing. Mm-hmm. You know, the majority of them were in favor of, it was COVID. Like, mm-hmm. you couldn't close, you know. And then, the list of excuses I gave them, they still weren't really buying it. And I think because they had a vision of what they want, mm-hmm. not what was going on. And it has taken some time. They were patient, but now they were like, we want to go in this direction. And I've already started. I got real money tied up in this, but it was COVID. No one's working.
Yeah.
And then when we got out of COVID, we had high construction costs.
Yeah.
Then we got out of that and we couldn't get the materials. I couldn't get toilets. We couldn't get refrigerators. We couldn't get all that stuff that was not on the shelf anymore. And then we got out of that. Then we had lumber. Lumber went up through the roof. No projects was closing because the lumber was just out of this world. Then we had a precast. Put $1 million down just to get in line to order your precast. Then we got out of that. And then we had the high interest rate where we're now.
Yeah.
The high interest. So it was just one thing after another. And then we finally got to a point where I kind of finally penciled it together that it worked, had to get reapproved. It gave me a hard time, but they end up going through and proving anyway. But it's just they're people just like we are.
Definitely. Definitely. So we'd love to hear more about the Penn Avenue project and just what that looked like, if there's anything you did differently from the comments, or was it kind of just replicating it over again?
Yeah. So a couple things, and I got a third lane I'm going to mention too in a minute.
Yeah.
But Penn Avenue Union is right across the street. So in my developments, I'm always thinking phases. Mm-hmm. I'm never really going in and saying, okay, I'll put a building there. Like, I'm really not interested in putting one building there. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to develop the area and kind of have a city within a city or a neighborhood within a neighborhood. So I have one-offs in New Orleans, mm-hmm. With partnership. I have one-offs in North Carolina, Augusta, Georgia,
nice.
One-offs. That we can build on, but really in the areas where I'm at, we kind of phase it out. Like, my architect who I grew up with,
wow.
he's the brother is just like, he lays it out. Like, I try to sketch my stuff down, I put it down, this is what I want to see, and then he kind of puts it out there, like, man, you know, and stuff. So we phase it out and we kind of think the same. So that's, Penn Avenue Union. The difference, it's larger. Mm-hmm. But obviously you want to do one better, each one. You want to learn it. So I wanted to learn the process better. I wanted to get it financed better. I wanted better amenities. I wanted better fixtures. I wanted better doorknobs. I wanted better carpet in this one. And that's one of the things that we do with me is we say affordable housing is not what it should look like. It's how you finance it. I don't want people to be able to go past my buildings and say, oh, that's an affordable housing project. I want you to come in like you're looking at Penn Avenue Union and see, like, is this a market rate? Is this a luxury apartment? But just at an affordable living cost. And we worked hard to raise the money. We worked hard to crunch the numbers to get the more expensive things in there to make it feel luxurious.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between the two.
Yeah. I think that's great. I mean, I don't think just because somebody is living in an affordable apartment means that it needs to be substandard. I mean, why can't it be beautiful just like someone else's is beautiful? So I think it's great that that's a priority, because people should be able to live in dignity, you know, like, you know, going to work every day, you're trying to make things happen, pay your bills and stuff. You should come home to a nice place, you know, and from what I was looking at, the videos and pictures and stuff, I mean, the apartments look beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. It's nice.
So I think it's very important. So you mentioned as well some partnerships as well that you've done in different states.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. The Commons, the first one kind of started, kind of gave me a little press. I'm not a big social media guy, so I don't really, all the stuff that I was doing, I didn't capture it.
Yeah.
I was just doing the work and just kind of, you know, going through it. But it started with, I think, D.L. Hughley. He had got word, or somebody had sent something to him, and he either did it on Facebook or on a show or something. And he was saying, why aren't more of our athletes doing stuff like this? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, and this guy is a blue collar guy. You know, where are our stars at? Like, that should be doing this type of thing. And then that was kind of a snowball of like notoriety. People started coming in and asking, and news articles. So that's kind of where it started. I lost my train of thought on where would you ask?
Oh, no, you're good. Just about the partnerships.
Oh,
yeah.
In other states, that snowballed other guys calling me, because the reality of I'm from North Minneapolis, but there's a North Minneapolis in every state.
Yep.
All of our communities look the same. You can go in there, and it's the same issues. It's the same issues. Yep. They have not had resources put back into our community. The people that have talent that can help leave the community. And that's one of the things I've been focusing on is our businesses. Mm-hmm. A lot of our Black businesses that are talented, they see my project and understand they have work.
Yeah.
They already know. Like, oh, Dev got that project. Look in the paper. Up, I got work. It's automatic. Yep. And so those are the things that, you know, I've been proud to be doing. But the partnerships is from that, of people saying, I want to do one of those buildings in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I want to do one of those in Memphis. I want to do one of those buildings in Georgia. Because I want us to go past the transactional things that we do for our community, which is good still, handing out turkeys, giving out bikes. I still do that for our building. You know, in fall time, there's a law firm that donates coats, brand new coats to every kid in my building.
Wow.
So those transactional things are good, but these buildings I'm putting in our communities, when I'm gone, my kids will have them. They'll be a staple still, and still be helping our community out. And so that's what I did, and that's where the partnerships came from, is the notoriety from that first building. Yep. And people seeing it and saying, I want that in my building. I want one of those. We can use one of those in our neighborhood.
Definitely. And I mean, I think that's great, because your model is very unique, and I think should be replicated in everywhere, all over the country, in our communities, because it helps. It's not just somewhere you live and you're just paying rent at. It's a place where it can help you get to that next phase of your life. Like, you can get a job, you can get support if you need social services, you can, you know, learn things through programs about nutrition and all types of stuff, and, you know, save money, go buy a house. So it's a proven model. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it makes too much sense to replicate this thing all over the country. So I hope that you're able to do way more partnerships and just continue to grow this thing, because we need it.
Yeah, and that's typically how the partnership has been, is myself and people that work for me and my other partner. We have the expertise, but then sometimes when we're going into these areas, they have the branding power, which is a good combination.
Yep.
Like they, the council members and the mayor and all them know that guy that's from that city.
Yeah.
But then they say, well, that's good. But then when we come in, our track record and things we've done, we've used to hand these sources, the people that we have working with us, the consultants that we have looking over all of our stuff are the best of the best. Then it's a kind of a good, it's a win-win situation.
Makes too much sense. Yeah. definitely. So something else I wanted to ask you about. So when you were in the league, did guys talk about business, investing, real estate? Was that a topic of conversation or were people kind of just, you know, I'm playing ball, I'm doing my own thing?
Early on, it was not a big topic of discussion. I think it's more talked about now of like getting deals or starting your own company or doing whatever you want to do. But guys, I think it was more silent then, but they were always there for questions and telling you what they did. Hey man, young fella, I got three waste management companies or whatever the case may be. I'm doing this and that, or, hey, I got four duplexes here. You know, it was more quiet. Now it's more out there. I think to from my point of view.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.